And welcome to another edition of El Paso Primetime, and welcome to another edition of telling you how theater is going to affect your summer. So we've gone through the premiere of the 2016 season with Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, and now we're off on a new adventure and a nice contemporary play that you can wrap your head around. With me this afternoon, Veronica Frescas, the director of the play, Mario Rodriguez Alvarado, and one of the actors in the play, Carlos de la Garza Garcia. Welcome to El Paso Primetime.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
I got all through that together. Yay. That's good. Okay, so let me go ahead and start by asking you how you came across the play itself. This is quite a contemporary one.
It is. I had heard about the play before, I think probably about 6 or 7 years ago. But I never read it, and when the movie came out, I watched the movie the day it came out, and once I saw that it was based on a play, I ordered the play, I read it, and I thought, oh, this is something I may want to be in at some point. At first, I didn't think I'd want to direct it until I read it again a couple of years after and really enjoyed it. I could see it come to life on stage. And when the opportunity came to choose a play for this new season, it was the only one.
It's an unusual one in that unlike other plays that you go and try to secure the rights for, this one actually comes with its own soundtrack.
It comes not with it one song, Lay Down Sally. That's the only song that when asking to get the royalties, when requesting the royalties, it's part of the package. You have to use that song. They won't release the royalties unless you also buy the royalties to the song. So it's used pretty continuously throughout the show.
Yeah, the continuing theme, which brings us to that whole notion of back in the day, where you would have a recurring theme through an entire Broadway production or a stage play. You would have that kind of a thing in order to let the audience get a little reminiscent about why you're there in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the first one to fully use it was Wagner with his leitmotif. Each character had his own little, type of music. And it's carried through into Broadway and into the movies. Lay Down Sally is very, very important in this show simply because it establishes a time period for a few of the characters in there. And it also kind of is symbolic of what is happening in the play. If you listen to all of the lyrics in Lay Down Sally, and if you are of a certain age, Dennis and I, then you recall what all of this was about. And certainly that's reflected in the show.
Which would bring us to a brief synopsis without being a spoiler about Osage, Orange County in the first place. Just a brief explanation of what it truly is all about.
Okay. August, Osage County, it was written by Tracy Letts. And basically, it's a somewhat dark comedy, and it revolves around the Weston family who lives in rural Oklahoma, and they all come together because of a family tragedy. And while the whole family is there, secrets come out, the claws come out, everybody's pretty much against each other. And Act Two, there's a big dinner scene that I think will hit close to home to anyone that's had one of those awkward and uncomfortable Thanksgiving dinners. So people will like that. And then Act Three has a pretty big plot twist that I don't think many people will see, will see coming.
Nice. Which brings us over to the entire season. The 53rd season of El Paso Playhouse is all about drama. But Veronica, it's always, when you involve drama, you also involve a touch of humor in every drama just to kind of like break the ice a little, no?
Exactly. We did, when we looked at the season, we realized it was a lot of drama. But we didn't really see it so much as it was so dramatic. But like you said, there is a touch of drama. You want to, nowadays they call it dark comedy, where there, because I believe it's so dramatic, you do have those characters that you don't think are really funny, but when you really stop to listen to what they're saying and how their character comes out, it really is a lot funnier than what it reads. And I think that's what's so wonderful about live theater is seeing these words, you know, that the playwright came up with and the story that he or she wants to tell and come to life in a manner that is so much different than when you read it, which is why live theater is so you never know what you're going to expect. It's so much different than a movie. Mm-hmm. As Mario mentioned, it was a movie before with some outstanding actresses that were up for Academy Awards, you know, for their portrayal of the characters. But when you do theater, they're not up there portraying who you saw in the movie, and they play their character. They bring a piece of themselves. Every actor brings a piece of themselves into the role that they play. Mm-hmm. And I think that's also too what makes what brings in that touch of humor, where it's not an outright, you know, screwball kind of comedy, but there are moments that you laugh, and I think you have to, just because there is so many intense moments. You know, they're the icebreakers.
Indeed, the tension that is built is often released by a touch of humor, and I think that in August Osage County, that happens continually, because it gets very tense and then all of a sudden somebody does something or says something that absolutely breaks the moment with just a bit of laughter. Veronica touched upon the difference between a movie and live theater. That goes back to Aristotle, who said great drama comes from the human experience. And this is the human experience. Mario mentioned the uncomfortable Thanksgiving meal or the uncomfortable reunion or something. It happens. We are all part of the human experience. And in that human experience, there are moments of laughter, there are moments of tears, and there are moments of gotcha. Mm. And this play has them all.
Yeah, I could tell you, it just from personal experience, about a fateful Thanksgiving dinner that involved an engine winch, a 30-pound turkey, and trying to fry this bird for Thanksgiving dinner, which resulted in a fire in the carport, dogs in the swimming pool, and the fire extinguisher on the other side of the fire. So, yeah, I get it.
That's a play dying to be written. Let's work on it.
And there you are, drama and comedy all at once.
Absolutely. It's all right there. And that's a beautiful part about live performance, live theater. Once you get involved in any aspect of theater, community theater, you get hooked. You really get hooked into the whole process, because it's everything. It's set design, it's building, it's painting, staying up 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning working on the projects. It's all part of what you do, because the tail end of it all, it's kind of like what we're doing now for you, the listener. We do this for you so that you become involved, and then you go to the theater and be entertained and get engaged.
Yeah, the engagement aspect is very important. I'm glad to say and happy to say Mario got involved, because he got involved into a play that I was directing. He's now been with the theater for
12 years and 54 so, plays later.
And 54 plays later. Veronica started with, I believe, Ballet Folklorico type stuff. But it's all community arts, and that's what is so important, is promoting these arts, be it theater, be it dance, be it sculpting and painting. Once you get involved as a member of the community, you stay there. I've been at the El Paso Playhouse from before then, when it was the Festival Theater, and before then, when it first merged from the El Paso Community Theater and the Upstairs Theater downtown. So I've been through all those incarnations. I left to go and study in New York and then came back and got involved again.
Mm-hmm. You need it all. And I see it every time I go to the Playhouse, and I feel it. I feel the passion. The moment you walk into the doors, you feel the passion. And that's the beautiful part about the whole thing. Is if you don't feel the passion, it's like, you know. I can equate that to radio stations. I've been at radio stations where it's so pristine and so, saccharine. you walk in, it's like, why am I here? And then you come to a place where it's just total chaos. But it's beautiful chaos because you know that everybody's in control only in their own world. And you're just like, okay, I want to be part of this. It's a great place to be.
And it, I mean, every play is a labor of love, really. You know, we've been rehearsing for, I think, 11 weeks now.
Right.
And, you know, with this, you know, being the summer, actors are out of town. People have to drop the shows. But there's always someone else willing to. You know, we lost an actor recently, and right away there were people that were willing to step up and do it. And that's fantastic. And one of the things that that I enjoy when it comes to working with Veronica is how far the theater has come. I mean, from when I started till now. And this past season, we had a very successful past season. The current show that's playing, you know, Virginia Woolf closes this weekend. It's had really good crowds. People are enjoying it. We're getting new people in. And that's, you know, we do this for the community. They've been supporting us for 53 years. So this is our way of saying thank you.
Let's go back to, Carlos, since you mentioned the history of Upstairs Theater downtown and the Festival Theater and all that, you've seen the crowds change in terms of age and attitude.
Well, yeah. Nowadays, with so many technological advances, certainly TV had cut into the audience, but not as much because even back in the 60s, we still had many theater groups here in El Paso. The Adobe Horseshoe, we had the theater at the university, we had the Upstairs Dinner Theater, we had the Community Theater, we had Moulin Rouge, we had a number of them, and they were all packed. But now we have DVDs, we have, you know, dollar movies, we have the regular movies, and there's this mania of wanting to see the latest blockbuster the day it opens. And so, yes, audiences have changed, and I think all the performing arts are seeing that. I know that I work with ballet groups, I work with the opera. We see changes. The biggest change, I think, is trying to involve the young person, the younger generations in theater. Those that are involved in the theater in high school or that are involved in singing or dancing in high school, they continue. And that's what feeds our generational and ancestral concept of theater. Do the older people still attend? Yes, they do. And they are probably our most faithful attendees. And that's because they were brought up with theater. I remember the days when in theater we were taken in high school and in middle school to go see plays, to go see theater. These days, because of budget constraints or whatever, it's not as prevalent as it used to be. And so we in the arts have a responsibility as well to go out and to foster an interest in the theater. To do, yes, some of the classics, because they're always going to be taught in the schools. And it's a great thing if we can bring it to life. The theater is a live thing. It's not something that you can pause and go and run and get yourself, you know, a snack, come back and hit, you know, play. No. Once you're there, you sit for the 2 hours, 2.5 hours, however long, and enjoy and become part of that. And those actors, I as an actor know, you feed off of that audience. We have those audiences that are so willing to give you. And then you have those audiences who we say, are they dead? Are they out there? Is anybody breathing? Because they're so quiet. Sometimes it's because they're paying so much attention that they don't even react because they are so involved. And then, you know, you have the moments that I can remember very well. I was performing with another Burgess Mustang X. Dennis and I are from Burgess, and she was playing one role, I was playing another, and she was this crotchety old lady, and there was a young little girl in the first row, and she turned to her dad And she said, she's exactly like Aunt Betty. But that's because the theater can do that.
Uh-huh.
The theater can do that, and that little child felt those emotions.
When you extend the audience, oftentimes you do that in a relatively subtle way by giving some of the audiences Q&A, the opportunity to talk to the actors and the cast and the crew about the process. Are you surprised by some of the questions that come out?
It's always exciting to do that because you never know what's going to come out. When we did the Q&A for the previous show, one of the questions was, how do you know where to go? Do you just make it up? And they're like, no, you know, the director blocks us and she'll say, or he'll say, in this case, she, where to go, and you better not do that again if you did it wrong. But it is always interesting. You just never know what questions, you know, that are running through their mind when, you know, those of us who are either on the stage or directing what's on the stage or putting together the stage, for us, it's old hat, you know. So it's always interesting to be reminded of what, you know, what's going through the mind of the audience, and you find out by these Q&As, you know, with questions like that.
Mm-hmm.
The most interesting things pop up in there. Yeah, and one of the things that we do here at the Playhouse is after every show we have the cast go out and meet and greet with the audience, and that's always the best time because that's when you really hear, you know, what they have to say or what they've been thinking, you know. And sometimes they really think that you're the character, you know, the person, the actor, and they don't like you, you know. They'll let
you know what happened.
A jerk you've been, or you know, that kind of, and that's awesome. I mean, because that's a testament to just what a great performance the actor did on that particular role. So, and then the number one thing that always pops up is, how did you memorize so many lines? I could never do that. it is fun, and we do. We always do try to, you know, going back to what Carlos was talking about, and the theater is when I would say that when we started losing live theater at any of the playhouses in town would have to be with the dawn of the Civic Center, when we started having plays coming in through here, when the Civic Center became the Abraham Chavez Theater, with what it's now called, and then with the renovation of the Plaza Theater. You know, we do have outstanding Broadway tours coming through here. You had Wicked, you had Jersey Boys, to name a couple of them, and they're packed. Which shows that El Paso, you know, loves live theater. Not to knock them, but if there wasn't a community theater, we wouldn't have the actors that go on into the Broadway shows. So we need to foster that, and not just so much the youth. It's very difficult to find, you know, even your older male actors for some roles. I don't know where they're going, but they're not in El Paso. And if you're out there, please give us a call.
Yeah. Come to the auditions.
Indeed. Interesting. You know, a lot of people don't know. Some of us revel in the fact that F. Murray Abraham is an El Paso boy, mm-hmm. with an Oscar for Best Actor in Amadeus. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Murray did community theater here in El Paso. A lot of people our age, Dennis, may recall a show called Knott's Landing, mm-hmm. that was an offspin of Dallas. Well, Analicia Ortiz was one of the main characters. She's a good Coronado girl, mm-hmm. From our year,
right.
back in those years. And for those of you who wish to know, it was back in the 70s. That's all I'll say. But she was another one. But there have been many who have gone on to perform professionally. And some, like myself, have returned. And now we are both professional and local, you know, volunteer actors and performers and directors and whatever. Yeah. And for the young person who wishes to get involved in theater and who thinks they might want to make theater their life calling, that's the place to begin. If you go and read about any of the really popular actors, the majority of them somewhere in there will have in their biography community theater, high school theater, children's theater that they were involved in. That those are the opportunities we present here in El Paso. Certainly the El Paso Playhouse has been doing it for now 53 years, and if we go back in the history, longer than that. But we also have Kids in Company, we have the university, we have the dinner theater. All right, for people in Las Cruces, you have the Black Box, you have others. Get involved, because there's nothing like being part of a show, whether you were the person that put up the hem on a dress or the person that is out there on the stage creating that character that nobody likes. Thank you, Mario, for nuts.
One of the things that I really enjoyed, and I enjoy doing it, is doing the sound effects for the shows, because in my world, we don't get a chance to do that. You know, everything comes prepackaged. All we got to do is tag a commercial and send it off into the computer and it's done. But to create a sound effect that you need in order to accent an action on that stage, to me, that's a rush. That's a rush, because it involves multi-tracking different sounds until you get the right thing. You know, in the early stages of Virginia Woolf, there was supposed to be a kitchen scene in the back, and I tried to put together a number of things to make it really sultry. And somehow it just got a little too out of control. But that's okay. I mean, that's give and take. That's what you do. And that's the beauty of community theater, is being able to test yourself. You know, you're not competing against anybody else. You're competing against yourself. You want to see whether or not you can make it through the night without flubbing a line. And better, engaging the audience and challenging them to see whether or not they know that you flubbed a line. That's the beauty of it.
And what's always interesting, going back to, you know, now with the first show come in and gone and the next one coming up, is you do have folks that have come back to see the show again. And they see the little differences that, you know, from the beginning when they came to see it opening night to when they saw it just, you know, the weekend, this past weekend. And again, like I said, that's live theater, and it's a process, and it is that lone actor not so much flubbing his line, but you're an ensemble, and you need to not flub your line, because the other person is waiting for that cue to
right.
say their correct line at the correct time, and it's just this wonderful, you know, this synchronicity that takes place right before your eyes. That, again, you're not going to find anywhere else. A movie you can see anytime,
mm-hmm.
any day, any time.
And
you
it's
know,
always going to look the same.
And it's always going to look the same. Our shows, live theater, not so much. Because and most people tell you, you know, don't come see it the first night. You know, they'll tell you, come see it a little bit later, because not so much that you're not ready. It's just a lot. The character has matured. More the cast is, you know, it's a lot different than when you're doing a rehearsal too, and you're just full on lights, sound, action, mm-hmm. let's go. Sometimes the light doesn't work, you know, and, yeah. and you know, which leads to why we need our fundraisers, and there is that little break that we have where we're going to be having all in the timing, the 28th through the 30th this weekend only. So you come out and you help us with that one. You know, we do need the funds, because as Carlos has said, with, you know, 53 years and maybe some more, the building itself is older, you know. And while some people want to attribute it to the ghosts, it's just really we need wiring redone and ACs that need to be fixed, if not completely
replaced.
That's not to say, and we have had phone calls, that's not to say that we do not have AC. We do. We would just like to have it colder. And, I mean, my dream as a president is if we could have refrigerated air, that would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that building's ever had it, and we definitely need it now, you know. So all in the timing is a short fundraiser that is being directed by a couple of our young actors who have been given the opportunity to direct. Ashley Prieto and Dom
Valdespino.
I can never get his last name, Don Valdespino. Mm-hmm. And they've got, you know, a great show. You know, again, it may, quote unquote, only be a weekend, but they've been running the, you know, we've had, you know, a show running and two rehearsals for two different shows going on, you know, and that's just the beauty of theater, with auditions already having taken place for Our Lady of the Tortilla, which is a comedy in the mix of all this dramatic seasons.
If you want to volunteer for anything, like Vero said, electricians are needed. If you want to build a set, great. I have three wonderful ladies who've put together the set for Virginia Woolf. And who's doing August Osage?
Yeah, the three of them and myself.
Okay. So, you know, it's one of those things. If you've never thought in your life that you could put together a set, you can, only if you get involved with the El Paso Playhouse. And there are ways to do it. If you don't go to the website, hell, give me a call. I'll tell you how to do it. Well, any of us here at the table will tell you how to do it. That's easy.
I mean, we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram. But on our website, you can find out more information about auditions. You can email us, you can call us with any questions you may have, whether you're a touring group that maybe is looking for a place to do something on a dark weekend, or if you're just, you want to be involved, you want to help get community service hours, or you want to just get involved. And that's, our doors are always open to anyone that wants to be a part of the magic that is live theater.
Well, I want to thank all three of you, Mario, Carlos, Veronica. Thank you so much for coming in. We need to keep the dialogue open on talking more and more about this, not just the season, but about the Playhouse and about being involved in community theater all the time. You know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, let me put that out there in the open. I think we need to do a couple of shows on the history of the Playhouse. I think people need to understand from where we come from and where we're going. So,
yeah, they say that you don't know where you're going until you know where you've been. Mm-hmm. And we know where the Playhouse has been, and we have hopes and aspirations as to where it's going, and I'm sure that we're going to get there, and we won't be able to do it without the help of the community.
And there's still some of us that recall the old days.
That's a good thing. It sounds like a documentary in the works. Thank you all very much for coming in. Appreciate you very much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Dennis. I can't iterate enough how helpful and kind you've been to the theater. You've definitely helped us with a voice that's out there, you know, where you know, it is nice to hear. It's like, oh, I heard you on the radio. And it's because of you, you know. So thank you, you know, from the bottom of our heart. You know, those of us at the Playhouse really appreciate everything that you do for us.
Come see our shows.